Psalms 103:2 say, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. So we got something to praise the Lord for, right? Please stand up on your feet. If you got feet, stand up. If you got hands, clap your hands. All right, let's go. Come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrender to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy. Your praise goes on.
all know this. Can you please help me sing this? Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I'll run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I'll hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good.
You are good.
You are good.
You are good.
You are good.
Oh. Hallelujah. Come on. Give God some praise today. He is good. He is good. He is good. Let's praise Him today, Lord. We thank you that you are good.
I sense faith in this room rising. You know, when you begin to sing that, He's never going to let me down. He's never going to let me down. He's good. I'm telling you, there are some things that just fall off of you because your faith grows strong enough to withstand things that come against you. Amen? And it's good. It's good. When we need to sing of the goodness of God and the character of God and have an expectancy of what He's going to do in our lives. That brings you joy. It doesn't. Circumstances don't change how you feel. It's what you believe about the God that you serve. Amen? Praise God. And welcome to Ascend Church. So glad that you're here. We take this time right now. We got one more worship song we're going to sing. And you know, we're not just singing as if we were in a performance, but we are worshiping God. So from your heart, I want you to, you know, we put the words up on the screen so that you can see them and you can sing along with, because the Bible says the fruit of our lips giving thanks. That means we don't just think, you know, thank God for what He does or that God is good, but we actually say it out of our mouth, that we actually worship God from the fruit of our lips. Amen. Right now, this is a time in the service where we have prayer and praise. And as I finish, before we begin to sing the next song, our prayer team are going to come line up here. They are full of faith. They love to pray and agree with you no matter what you're facing. You know, we can stand together. Two is stronger than one. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. So if you want someone to agree with you in prayer, no matter what it is that you're facing, just come on forward. We're going to pray, lay hands on you. But I just want to give a couple of praise reports this morning. Because you know that God answers prayer? Do you know that we see miracles take place because we bring it to Him? Amen. Bruce was telling us, wave your hand, Bruce. I think everybody knows you. Bruce's son, back in July, on his 40th birthday, was diagnosed with fourth stage lymphoma, stage 4 lymphoma. That's a picture of him the day before he was diagnosed. And there's a picture of him today with his, we prayed for him, and that's a picture of him. And they said he's cancer-free. That's just a recent picture with him and his daughter. Come on, family. How about if that was you? How about if that was your son or your husband, right? Thank God he's still in the healing business. Amen. Paris, thanking God, she got two new job offers. We believe in God for a new job for her. And Roger on the trumpet was telling us that he works for university and they've had a big shakeup and people have been leaving. But he said he got his new contract for 2 years. So praise God for jobs and better jobs. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. And Deborah, happy big milestone birthday to you. It's 30, right? It's 30. Again. Praise God. Well, we're going to pray. If you're watching online, come on, prayer team. Come and line up here. If you're watching online, let's just stretch our hands out towards that camera. Father God, we just release the healing power of God to flow into the homes and into the hotel rooms and to the hospital rooms of whoever's watching. We just release the healing power of God. Whatever it is they need, we know there's no distance in prayer. And we pray for your anointing to flood that room, to flood their bodies. For we drive sickness out of those bodies, pain to go. Thank you for healing from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We pray for peace in those homes. We pray for restoration in marriages. We pray for children to be drawn back into the fold, Father. We thank you for the angels of God that surround them and protect them everywhere they go. We command depression to lift off of them. We command all oppression to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, right now as we worship, if you're not coming for prayer, just get lost in the things of God. Nobody's watching you. They're all thinking about themselves. Let's worship God this morning. Come and get prayed for if you need.
Yes. Hallelujah.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close.
Yes.
No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the air.
Yes.
No thing can compare.
Come on, sing it with us.
You're our living hope.
There's nothing that can compare.
Your presence, Lord.
Yes. I've tasted and seen.
I've tasted and seen
of the sweetest of love.
Come here, Holy Spirit.
Flood this place.
Fill this place.
Your glory, God,
is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Your glory. Spirit, you are welcome.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I want. To be overcome by your presence, Lord, of Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I want. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Come on, sing it. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Come on, Lord, we worship you. 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 Just lift your hands right now. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, say, Holy Spirit, I want to hear you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Have your way in me. Have your way in this place. Say it one more time. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Fill this place with your presence, Lord. Flood this atmosphere with your presence, Lord. Thank you for your anointing that removes every burden, that destroys every yoke. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that fills this place in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
For there is an anointing that abides within you, and it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it is not natural things that you need to lean on, says the Lord, but it is my Spirit. For I have empowered you and I have equipped you to face anything, whether it be in the natural or whether it be in the spiritual. And I've done that by filling you with my Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But if you don't lean upon the Spirit and you lean upon the arm of the flesh, you're going to be limited in what you're able to do. So make a point of saying, Lord, I yield. I lay myself down and I take up the power and the anointing that is within me. And I walk in what you've put within me. And I walk in another realm. I walk in a supernatural realm that I'm able to do way beyond what I would ever be able to do in the natural, because I am supernaturally empowered. I'm supernaturally empowered. Because the Father sent Jesus to die on the cross and do the work of redemption. But when he established the church, he established the church by sending the wind of the Holy Spirit. And when the wind of the Holy Spirit comes into your sails, it'll carry you further than you could ever go on your own. And so salvation is not the be-all and end-all. It is the beginning. It is the beginning. It is the beginning of what God wants to do in you. And there is a work that begins at redemption and salvation. But that work continues, and it is dependent upon how much you lean upon the Holy Ghost who is within you. And so the Lord is t- today, says the Lord, I am stirring you up to lay down your strength and to lean upon my strength. Because even within 7 days, you will see a marked change in your circumstances, says the Lord. In your business, in your home, in your relationships, because you lay down your thoughts, your way of doing things, and you say, Lord, I ask you to let me walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and to speak according to what he gives me. And you will see a marked change within 7 days, says the Lord. If you receive that, say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus. Thank Come you, on. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you cannot lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come fill this place and not expect something to happen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So good to see you in church today. Won't you just take the next 60 seconds, find somebody you don't know, greet them, tell them it's good to see them. Today. Anybody happy to be here? Amen. Me too. Praise God. Well, we welcome those who are watching online, watching on Facebook, on our app, on our website. You're welcome joining us in the service. We always have at least twice as many people watching online that than are actually in church. But what about you? I'd rather be in church, right? How else could I see your pretty faces? Right. Praise God. Well, we want to welcome everyone and especially want to welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church. Isn't that true? Come on. We like having visitors in our church. It's the truth, right? And if you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to hand you, our ushers have got a gift pack, a visitor pack. They'd just like to pass you right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Anyone else? Just lift that hand. I know sometimes people are shy, but just lift it up if you are here for the first time. And we appreciate that. You guys are good on those instruments, aren't you? Pretty good. Pretty good. All of them are professional. You know that? So nice to have Roger playing the trumpet. Awesome. Praise God. Now, if you are here for the first time and you've got one of those visitor packs, there's a white card. We ask you to just fill it out. It says guest. Just fill it out. Pastor Steve likes to just give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. We're so glad you're in the service. I just want to remind you of our four main purposes in this church. The first one is that you would know God better than you do right now. Amen. Second of all, that you would find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And fourth, that you'll make a difference with your life. I like the sound of that. How about you? Praise God. Well, if you want to go ahead and just share if you're on social media and you'd like to just go ahead and share, it broadens the reach of the ministry. It broadens the reach of the message. Gives people an opportunity who may be a little nervous about stepping into church to watch a service and participate. So go ahead and do that right now. Thanks, my dear.
The Lord. I should have come up earlier, right? Oh, I'll get it right one of these days. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. You're supposed to say it's good to see you too. But you'll get it after about 10 years, I'm guessing. Well, I tell you right now, man, I've got to just say the singers and musicians just did a wonderful job as normal. And I'm going to welcome Roger. Man, I loved hearing on that trumpet. Come on. Come on. Come on, Roger. If you don't know it, Roger is the music professor at Palm Beach Atlantic, and he's played with different bands all over the world, and he's just world class. And I've had a desire to have someone play the trumpet. I've been talking about it for years. It's like my favorite. So come on, hit us something. Hit us something there. Yeah. Now I'll sing. Now it's my turn. Now I'm going to sing. Do you recognize the song? Love Chain. You remember, recognize this? Is that what it's called? Love Chain? We're on a love chain. A love train, is it? Well, I'm speaking about loving like God today. So it's appropriate, isn't it? Give one more hand, will you, to the team here today. What a great job. Keep it going. Lord, we thank you today. It's so good to be in your house. It's so good to be with our brothers and sisters, the family of God. We thank you, Lord, that we're part of your family. And we thank you that this is a family of love. This is the love family, because that is the only command that you've told us to keep. That is that we love one another as we love ourselves. And Father, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your love that fills our heart. And I thank you, Lord, today that you speak your word today and anoint your word today, and that our lives are changed, Father. We come to know you better. We come to find more freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference in this world in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Do you know every Sunday when you come to church, you get to know God a little bit better? You get to find more freedom in your life? You discover a little more about your purpose and go out and make a difference? This is something that happens every week. Isn't that right? So tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad to see you. And I was very encouraged. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had Prophet Ed Trout, and we had a lot of new visitors come, and I'm so glad. Thank you for inviting people. We had a great turnout. But last Sunday it was even bigger. Last Sunday, we had a better attendance. Then it's our best attendance since Easter. So I just want you to know Jesus is building our church and God is bringing new people. And thank you for inviting people. It's happening. It's happening. Get ready. All of those of you who like to come in here at about 10:15, enjoy it while you can, because one of these days, I'm telling you, you come in here at 10:15, you'll be standing in the lobby watching the service on the TVs. You remember that I said it. One of these days, if you come in at 10:15, you'll be in the lobby, because it'll be so full you can't get in. Huh? I did that in Cape Town. We started the church in Cape Town, and they're notorious for being, they call it Africa time. But then I found out there's island time too. And I found out that island time is the same as Africa time. Because they'd come late. I mean, late, right? And I tell them, you better get ready. Because if you don't get in time, one of these days, and sure enough, it got so full. I mean, you couldn't even get in the lobby. You couldn't even get up the stairs because we're on the second floor. And I'm declaring and prophesying that's going to happen here in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready for God's word today? I said, are you ready for God's word today? Because I'm really excited. I really have a strong, powerful message that I believe is going to bless you today. So thank you, team. You can be seated. I'm speaking about love like God. Love like God. And I'm going to start out in John chapter 13 in verse number 34, where Jesus said, I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. Love each other the same way that I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love that I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know you're my true followers. Do you know how you can tell the true followers of Jesus? Because the love that they display to other people. God wants us to love each other just like He loves us. So if I'm going to love others the way God loves me, I've got to understand how God loves me. Because how can I love others like God loves me if I don't know how God loves me? The first thing you've got to know that God loves you unconditionally. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 25, it said, may the unconditional love of the Lord Jesus, the anointed one, be with your spirit. The unconditional love of the Lord Jesus. You see, God's love is not like human love. Human love is conditional. You know, just it was last week Valentine? Last week was Valentine, right? Where we celebrate romantic love, human love. See, human love is conditional. Human love is, I love you as long as you do this. As long as you make me feel good. But if you don't make me feel good, I don't love you anymore. But God's love, thank God, is not conditional. In other words, God loves you no matter what. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, He never stops loving you. It's unconditional. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loved you so much, He died for you when you were still a sinner, when you were far away from God. Maybe you weren't even interested in God. Maybe you were blaspheming God, but God loved you while you were a sinner. And maybe you need to hear today that God's love for you is not based on your performance. God doesn't love the way people love, because people will love you based upon what you do for them. People will love you based upon the value that your actions carry that will contribute directly to their well-being. If your actions are increasing their well-being, they're going to love you. But the moment that your actions don't contribute to their well-being, they don't love you anymore. But God's love is not based on our performance. God's love is based on relationship. And just in case you haven't heard it in a little while and you feel kind of dirty and kind of ashamed of yourself and kind of like you don't belong in the presence of God, kind of like, you know, you're not one of those good church people, I want you to know that you are still God's child. You are still made in His image. You are still bought with His blood. Every drop that was spilled on purpose, one of those drops has your name on it. And if that blood was enough for me, that blood is enough for you. God will never love you any more than He loves you right now. Somebody shout, I'm loved by God. I'm His child. I'm accepted. I'm chosen. See, there is nothing that you can ever do that will make God stop loving you or make God love you any more than He loves you right now. God's love is unending, it's unlimited, and it is unconditional. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the scripture says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? It says, the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are slaughtered like sheep. But despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And it says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor our fears, nor today, or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that you could ever do that would stop God from loving you just as much as He ever will. If you think God loves you based on your performance, here's the problem. When you make a mistake, then we think, well, God goes and finds somebody else to love, because human love says, well, if you don't love me, I'm not going to love you back. Right? But God's not like people. People love conditionally. If you do right, if you perform right, if you treat me right, then I'm going to love you. But if you let me down, I'll go find someone else to love. But when we make mistakes, I'm so glad God doesn't change his mind. You can run away from God, dear friend, but instead of turning away the other way, God will come running toward you. That's what we see in the parable that Jesus taught about the prodigal son. Jesus told the parable to illustrate what God is like. And he said a father had two sons, and the younger son came and asked for his inheritance. And then he left home, and he wasted all his inheritance on wild living and parties. And his money finally ran out, and he ended up getting a job on a farm feeding pigs. He was so hungry, even the pig food looked pretty good. But the Bible says nobody gave him anything. And then it says he decided one day he finally came to his senses. He said, I will go home to my father's house. Even the servants there eat better than this. And the Bible says that his father saw him coming from a long way off. You know why the father saw him coming? Because he'd been waiting for him. Because he got out every day looking for his son. And what did the father do when he saw his son coming? The Bible says he was filled with love and compassion. And he ran to his son. And he embraced his son. And he kissed his son. And he told the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger, kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. My son was lost and he's been found. Let me tell you, that's how God loves you. Doesn't matter if you run away from him. He comes running towards you. You don't have to earn his love. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less than he loves you right now. Say, I'm loved by God. Say, I'm loved by God. See, a lot of people have heard that God loves them, but they don't really believe it. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we have known and believed the love God has for us. It's one thing to know God loves you. It's another thing to really believe it. It says God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. The more you abide in love, the more you abide in God. And the contemporary English version says we are sure that God loves us. And the Amplified Bible says we put our faith and we rely on the love that God cherishes for us. I want you to know that you are loved by God. I don't want you just to know it. I want you to believe it. The Apostle John wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the Gospel of John. And if anyone believed that he was loved by God, it was the Apostle John. He was known as the Apostle of Love. And listen what John wrote. John believed that he was loved by God. He wrote in John 13, verse 23, the disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Now, he's writing about himself. He's talking about himself. And again, in John 19, verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then again in John 20, verse 2, it says that she ran and she found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him, because this is after Jesus rose from the dead. And then again in John 21, verse 7, then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And then again in John 21, verse 20, then Peter turned and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Listen. When Matthew, Mark, and Luke were writing their gospel, they referred to themselves by their name. Can you imagine when they read John's account, they must have thought, who does John think he is? He's describing himself as the one that Jesus loved. Jesus loved us all. The nerve of this guy. Can you believe it? Let me tell you, John had an incredible confidence, not just how much he loved God, but how much God loved him. Five times he referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Can you imagine if we all together and I said, hey, the disciple Jesus loved wants to go to lunch now. You think, who do you think you are? You may think, John, I got it the first time. We heard you loud and clear the first time. You think you're the one that he loves. You don't have to keep on telling us. Five times over you told us. Now you may think, well, you know, that you could take it as he's being arrogant and self-centered, but I believe John was showing us the confidence that he had, and he knew how much God loved him. That's powerful. When you can do like John, maybe don't announce it to everybody. You know, don't put it on your business card. Steve Barry, the one that Jesus loves. But in your heart, in your own heart, I'm the one that he loves. When you wake up in the morning, Lord, good morning, Lord. It's the one that you love. All through the day, Lord, I love you, and I know I'm the one that you love. You see, in Ephesians 1 verse 6, listen to this scripture. It says, the same love that he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. Do you know that God loves you the same as he loves Jesus? I said God loves you the same as he loves Jesus. And when you believe the love God has for you, I tell you what, you'll never be insecure again. You'll never be afraid again. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows we haven't fully experienced his perfect love. Let me tell you, when you really understand how much God loves you, you'll never be afraid of God. You won't be insecure. You won't have to compare yourself with somebody else, because when you know God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. And you know, God wants us to love people like he loves us. And you may wonder, oh, how can I do that, Pastor Steve? How's that possible? Well, when you receive Jesus, when you accepted the Lord, you were born again in your spirit. And God put his love in your heart. He gave you the capacity to love like he loves. Because God would never ask us to do something we couldn't do. How could God tell you, love one another as I've loved you, if it was impossible? But the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Say that. Say, the love of God has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And the Passion Bible says we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Say, the endless love of God is cascading through my heart. Amen. You can love people like God does, because you have he's put his love within you. You have the potential, the capacity to love people like Jesus does, but you got to grow and develop this kind of love. Do you know that the love of God, it can be developed in your life? It can grow. The scripture says in Philippians 1 verse 9, Paul said, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase. So I can grow in this love. In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 2, it says, may the Lord increase your love until it overflows into one another and for all people, just as our love overflows toward you. I pray today that your love would increase. I pray today that the love of God would overflow in your heart and that you would love others the same way that God loves you. God wants us to love other people unconditionally with his love. That's why we can love our enemies. Matthew 5:43, Jesus said, your ancestors have also been taught, love your neighbors and hate the one who hates you. Love those who love you and hate those who hate you. However, I say to you, love your enemy. What? Love your enemy, bless the one who curses you, do something wonderful for the one who hates you, and respond to the very one who persecutes you by praying for them. For that will reveal your identity as children of your heavenly Father, because he is kind to all. By bringing the sunrise to warm and rainfall to refresh, whether a person does what is good or evil, God is good to all. What reward do you deserve if you only love the lovable, if you only love those who love you? Don't even the tax collectors do that? How are you any different from others if you limit your kindness only to your friends? Don't even the ungodly do that? See, this is what makes Christians different. This is what makes you different. Say, this is what makes me different. Because our God loves us unconditionally, and when we love other people unconditionally, we are displaying God to them. In 1 John 3 verse 10, it says, so now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. It says in 1 John 3 verse 14, if we love other Christians, it proves that we've been delivered from hell and given eternal life. But a person who doesn't have love for others is headed for eternal death. In 1 John 3 verse 17, it says, if anyone sees a fellow believer in need and has the means to help him and yet shows no pity and closes his heart against him, how is it even possible that God's love lives in him. In other words, if you have a situation where you can help someone, you have the means and you don't, how is it possible that the love of God lives in you? Beloved children, our love can't be an abstract theory we only talk about, but a way of life demonstrated through our loving deeds. 1 John 4, verse 7. Now notice, I'm reading all out of what John wrote, the apostle of love. He said, "Dear friends, let us practice loving each other, for love comes from God, and those who are loving and kind show that they are children of God and that they are getting to know him better." Do you know the more you get to know God, the more you show love to people? Let me say it again. The more you get to know God, the more you walk in love toward people. It says, "But if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love." Now, let me tell you, it's easy to love people that are just like you, people that look like you, dress like you, worship like you. It doesn't take a lot of effort to love your friends, to love people that love you. But what about the people that are different to us, that maybe are difficult to get along with, people we don't understand, people we don't agree with? As far as we're concerned, they're not making right choices. It's easy to size them up from the exterior, put them in a box, and, you know, we think to ourselves, well, they're not for me. They're odd. I'm going to keep my distance. But God's love is not exclusive. God's love is inclusive. Are you with me? God's love doesn't exclude people who are different. It doesn't write people off who make mistakes or maybe because they're not where they should be. It doesn't ignore someone because they're not meeting all of our standards. Unconditional love says, "I'm going to love you even if I don't agree with you. I may not agree with your lifestyle. I may not agree with your doctrine. I may not agree with how you're raising your children. I may not agree with the friends that you're choosing. But I know this. You are made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. And God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And I'm not called to judge you. I'm called to love you." So you've got to realize that every person is on a journey. And where they are right now is not where they're going to end up. They're not a finished product. Say, "I'm not a finished product." Tell your neighbor, "God's not finished with me yet. I'm still on the potter's wheel." But you see, so often we judge people for where they are today. We write them off and we think, "Well, I'm just not going to associate with them. They're a mess. They're done." I'll tell you right now. Let me tell you, God will use you to plant seeds in their heart. And your love, your friendship, your encouragement is part of the plan that God designed for their life. God intended for them to meet you so that you could demonstrate his love to them so that it could have an impact and change their life. God's counting on you to make a difference. So don't have this holier-than-thou attitude. Take off the judgmental glasses. Because if it were not for the grace of God, you and I could be right where that person is. The same things that we are tempted to be judgmental and critical about, if it was not for the goodness of God, and if it was not for the mercy of God, we could be struggling with them in the same things that they are. And if you haven't walked in their shoes, or if you'd walked in their shoes, been raised in their family, and fought the battles that they've fought, you'd understand why they are where they are. And you see, the areas that you're strong in, you didn't just happen to be strong. It's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God on your life. And when we show unconditional love, people may not respond right away. It may seem like maybe it's not doing any good. Maybe they keep on making wrong choices. And sometimes we think that we've got to play the job of the Holy Spirit. And we have to convict people. We have to tell people what they're doing wrong. We have to point out all their faults and make sure that they really feel guilty. We've got to really tell them how bad they are. No, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people. You just keep sowing these seeds and showing unconditional love. At the right time, it'll come to life. I've learned, family, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to love. We don't have to try to straighten everybody out. All I've got to do, Jesus said, I've got to focus on one thing, to love others like I love me. Sow seeds of love. In James chapter 4, verse 11, the scripture says, "Dear friends, as part of God's family, never speak against another family member. For when you slander a brother or sister, you violate God's law of love. And your duty is not to make yourself a judge of the law of love by saying that it doesn't apply to you, but your duty is to obey it. Every time I judge or slander or speak about one of you, I'm breaking the law of God, the law of love. Love is the only commandment that we have to live by. Did you know that? In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. Do you know that we have a debt to love people? It's something I owe you. The Bible says, don't owe anybody anything except your debt to love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And every other commandment can be summed up in these words, love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. See, if I love you and I value you, I won't steal from you. I won't murder you. I won't do wrong to you. I won't commit adultery with your wife. If I love you and value you like I love myself, it says in verse 10, love makes it impossible to harm another. So love fulfills all the law requires. Do you know that if you live and obey the law of love, you obey all God's commandments? When you show love, you're showing God. When you're merciful, understanding, accepting, that heals, that restores, that brings new life to people. And for too long, the church in general has been known for what we're against. We're against this, and we're against that. And if you live like this, then you're not welcome here. We've been good at telling people what we don't like. I don't want to be known for what I'm against. I want to be known for what I'm for. I'm for people. I'm for new beginnings. I'm for second chances. I'm for you becoming everything God created you to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our part is to keep on showing this unconditional love. Not, well, you know, I'll love you if I agree with you. I'll accept you if you fit in my little box. No, our attitude should be, if you have good morals or no morals, I'm still going to love you. If you're clean and sober, or strung out and addicted, I'm still going to love you. If you're gay or straight, Republican or Democrat, black or white, I'm still going to love you. If you're Muslim or Christian, believer or atheist, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to love you no matter what. Jesus said, this is how everyone will know I'm his disciple, because I love everybody unconditionally. Come on, give God some thanks and praise if you agree with that today. Jesus didn't say the world will know you, my disciples, because of how spiritual and how holy you are and how many times you come to church and the way you dress and how many scriptures you can quote in the Bible, how many miracles take place. No, he said they'll know that you're my disciples because of the love that you demonstrate for other people. Amen. What would this world be like if instead of judging people, we'd really start loving people so they don't look like you? They're not supposed to. God made them different. Get over it. Not everybody's supposed to look the same. Maybe they're not where they should be right now. That's okay. They're on a journey. They're not a finished product. Maybe they don't worship like you do. Maybe they come from a different denomination, a different culture, maybe even a different faith. Let me tell you, it's okay. Don't shut them out. Our God is the God of the whole earth. He's not a white God. He's not a black God. He's not a Mexican God. He's simply God. And the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob loves Muslim people just as much as he loves Christians. Our God loves Hindu people. He loves atheists. He's the God of all flesh. But often we've got this narrow view of God. We've got our little circle of what we believe and who we think is right, and we exclude everybody else. We point out their faults, what they're doing wrong, where we don't agree. Well, they don't baptize like we baptize. Well, they don't take communion like we take communion. They don't sing the same songs that we sing in church. No. We focus on the things that separate us. The longer I live, the more I realize how big God's circle is, how wide His mercy extends. And I tell you, when we get to heaven, you're going to be surprised who's there. Because some people you thought going to be there ain't going to be there, and some people you thought wouldn't be there are going to be there. Well, Steve, what about their false doctrine? What about their false doctrine? What about your false doctrine? I was amazed preachers want to argue doctrine. Nobody's 100%. If you think you're 100% right, you're wrong at the gate. at the beginning. Nobody's 100% right. Do you know the reasons that denominations were established in the first place was to try and protect the doctrine that they believe? Their doctrine is the only doctrine that's right. Some denominations think they're the only ones going to heaven. They're the only ones who's right. I heard someone say this, thinking that your church is the only church is like filling your bathtub with water and calling it the Atlantic Ocean. We're all missing it somewhere. The main thing is we all agree Jesus is the Son of God. We all agree Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. He's our Savior. And my love for you is bigger than a theological difference. It's bigger than what church you belong to. It's bigger than what faith you practice. It's bigger than political differences. Let me tell you something. I'm not a follower of Donald Trump. I'm not a follower of Hillary Clinton. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not going to separate myself from half the population. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm here to love everybody, whether we agree or whether we don't. I don't have to agree with you in order to love you. And if you draw a circle, try to shut me out, I'm going to draw a bigger circle and shut you in. Because when you love unconditionally, you got a wide circle. You're not judging everybody to see if they fit in your little box. That's the amazing thing. That's what I love about Ascend Church. Because that's what makes this church so great, in my opinion. Because we've got such variety. We've got such diversity. We've got white people. We've got black people. We've got Latin people. We've got Asian people. We've got all kinds of people here. We've got rich people. We've got poor people. We've got old people. We've got young people. We've got Democrats. We've got Republicans. We've got Protestants. We've got Catholics. We've got Jewish people. We've got some redneck people. I mean, we've got all kinds of people here. We've got all kinds of people. And let me tell you something. That's what heaven's going to be like. You might as well learn to love people down here. Because that person that you think has got so much false doctrine and they're so far off course, you better learn to like them. You better learn to love them. Because we're going to be in heaven together for eternity. Amen? Amen. Move on for me. Thank you, Natalie. In fact, they'd probably be right next. They might even be your next door neighbor in heaven. There's going to be a whole lot of people there that we weren't expecting. Because God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It's bigger and broader and more far-reaching. A lot of times religion tries to push people away, but God's always trying to pull people in towards Him. It's not about, do you keep all the rules? Have you performed perfectly your whole life? It's about the condition of your heart. Do you have a heart to please God? Do you believe in the resurrected Savior? You know, it's interesting to me when Jesus was on the cross, there was a criminal crucified, two criminals, I believe, on either side, and they were also crucified. And the criminal hanging next to Jesus, he'd done a lot of wrong things in his life. He'd lived a life he wasn't proud of. But before he died, he looked at Jesus on the cross, and he just said this to him. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He simply acknowledged who Jesus was. In effect, he called on the name of the Lord. You know what Jesus said to him? Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. That criminal didn't pray a long sinner's prayer. He never got baptized in water, never joined a church, never attended a church. That was simply the mercy of God. It doesn't always fit in with our theology. Why do we try to make it so narrow? Why do we think, well, my loved one's never going to make it. My co-worker doesn't have a chance. You should hear them talk. No, they're on a journey. God's using you to plant seeds in their heart. They don't need to hear just another sermon. You don't have to tell people what they're doing wrong. They already know it. You just have to show love to them. Let your life be the sermon to them. At the right time, those seeds will come to life. I heard this poem. It's called Heaven's Surprise. And the poem says this, I was shocked, bewildered, and confused when I entered heaven's door. Not by the beauty or by the light or by its decor. It was the people in heaven that made me splutter and gasp. The sinners, the cheaters, the liars, the trash. There stood the kid from second grade. He stole my lunch money twice. Next to him was my neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I thought would be rotting in hell, was sitting on cloud nine doing quite well. I asked Jesus, what's the deal? I'd love to hear your take on how all these sinners got up here. It must have been a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Please give me a clue. Jesus said, it's because they're all in shock. They never thought they'd be seeing you. We can all say, where would I be without the mercy of God. When we didn't deserve it, when we made mistakes, God showed us his unconditional love, and he's asking us to show the same love to other people. Don't look at them through eyes of judgment. Look at them through eyes of mercy. Well, Pastor Steve, I don't think she should be wearing that in church. That's not appropriate. Maybe not, but I'd rather her be in church than out in the club. You don't know what she's going through. You haven't walked in her shoes. Before you judge her, get to know her story. Before you write her off, listen to her story. There's usually a good reason why people are the way they are. And we've got to give them some room while they're in the process of changing. Because if we judgmental, holier than thou, we look down on them, that's not going to help people move forward. That's not going to help people know God. That's conditional love. If you meet all my demands, then I'll love you. Then I'll accept you. No, God freely gave us his mercy. Let's freely give mercy to other people. I heard a story about a young couple. They were eating breakfast at a small diner, and they had their one-year-old little baby sitting in the high chair. And as they were eating, little boy started smiling real big. He was hitting the table. In fact, he was so excited. And the mom turned around and saw what was causing all this excitement. There was an elderly man sitting at the table behind them. This man looked to be homeless. His hair was all disheveled. He hadn't shaved. His clothes were dirty. He didn't smell good. And he said to the little boy, very loudly, "How you doing, little buddy?" And everybody in the restaurant turned to see what was going on. The mom was a little bit embarrassed. She nodded at the man, and then she turned back around to her table. She tried to get the baby's attention away from the man, but the man kept on talking to the baby, playing peekaboo. The little baby was so entertained with this man, so taken in, that instead of smiling, he started cackling. He started laughing out loud. And the parents kind of bowed their heads, and they just kind of ate as fast as they could. They're trying to get finished so they could get out of there. Finally, they got through with breakfast, but it was raining outside, so the husband went to pull the car up front. The mom got up from the table, picked up a little baby, headed toward the counter, going to go pay the check. Under her breath, she said, "God, please just get me out of here without any more commotion." About that time, the homeless man got up, stood in line behind her. When the little baby saw him step out of the table, he put out both his arms, leaned away from his mother, put out his arms, and reached toward the man. Before you knew it, the little baby was in the man. The stranger's arms looked like they were long-lost friends. At one point, the baby even little lady's head on the homeless man's shoulder, and the homeless man kind of closed his eyes. He was just taking it all in. He had his hands dirty, rough, full of grime. He patted the little baby softly on his back. The mother just watched in amazement. After a couple of minutes, he handed back the little boy, and he said, "You take care of this little boy." And she kind of said, "Yeah," a lump in her throat, yeah, I will. And as she walked toward the door to leave, tears started running down her cheeks. She said, "God, please forgive me." She just witnessed unconditional love shown through the innocence of a little baby. That baby didn't see that man's dirt and grime. He didn't see his hairstyle. The baby saw him through eyes of love. The mother saw him through eyes of judgment. My prayer is, God, let us have the same innocence of a baby and not judge people by the exterior, amen, by what they wear or by what the mistakes they've made. Let's see people through eyes of love. In Titus 1 verse 15, it says, "To the pure, all things are pure." And if you read the Living Bible, it says, "A person who is pure of heart sees goodness and purity in everything. But a person whose own heart is evil and untrusting will find evil in everything. Even his dirty mind and rebellious heart color all he sees and all that he hears." Let me tell you, one way that you can know how pure your heart is how much do you judge other people? Because when your heart is pure, you don't have a critical spirit. You don't have a holier-than-thou attitude. You're full of mercy. You give people the benefit of the doubt. Can you say amen, somebody? And I found so much of our judgment is based on the culture we were raised in. When my kids were growing up, they come home from the mall. They said, "Dad, how do you like my new jeans?" And I'm like, "They got holes in them. They got holes in the knees. They're faded. They look torn. They look 20 years old." I'd be like, "Did you get those jeans down at the Goodwill store?" "No, Dad, this is the latest style." How many of you know cultures change? And too often we judge by what we don't understand. I bet your parents said the same thing about you. I bet your parents said the same thing about when you were growing up, your clothes, your music. When my dad was growing up in London in the 1950s, he was called a teddy boy. And they used to dress a certain way. They wore these suits with long jackets, and they had these ducktail hairstyles, and they were considered radical. Yet God called my dad to be a pastor. I mean, think about the Beatles. In their day, the Beatles were radical. Even though they wore suits, their hair was a little bit long, kind of like mine is now. Today, they'd be considered conservative. How many of you know the Beatles today would be conservative? Wouldn't they? I saw a documentary on Elvis Presley. I love Elvis Presley. And I pray he's in heaven. And he grew up in church. He loved the Lord. And gospel music had a great influence on Elvis Presley. He went, when he was 18, to record a record for his mother, Sun Records. And he really went to record a record for his mother's birthday. But within 2 years, he was an international sensation. He never expected to become so famous. He went on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1956, and Christians came against him, the church, because he shook his hips. That's about it. Do you know what he said? He said he was just doing what he did in church. He did in church. I'm just doing the same thing I do in church. And he was very hurt. His feelings were very hurt because Christians came against him. Do you know that after Elvis Presley would do his shows, he would go back to the dressing room and he'd sing with his backing singers gospel songs till the sun came up. They'd sing gospel songs. How many people have been turned off of God because of judgmental Christians? I'm determined that's not going to be me. Let that not be us. Before you judge that young person in his wild hair and his crazy clothes and his wearing whatever it's got on, you don't know how God's going to use that person. That may be the next pastor. That may be the next president. You never know. The Bible says in John 7, verse 24, be honest in your judgment and do not decide at a glance, superficially, or by appearances. In the New Living Bible says, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. And the good God's Word translation says, stop judging by outward appearance. Because often we look at someone, in a split second we decide whether or not we're going to like them. First impression. Well, he's got a tattoo. He's going to go to hell. He got long hair. He's a troublemaker. He's wearing bling. Probably stole it from somewhere. No, give everybody room to become who God created them to be. A few years back, we were in San Antonio. We were at a pastor's retreat at a resort out in San Antonio. It's a number of years ago, right? Maybe more than 10 years ago. And it was a beautiful resort. And Jill and I, we went, you know, they had a number of pools. And so we wanted to find a pool. Maybe it was a little quiet because there were a lot of pastors, like 200-300 pastors. She wanted to be in a bikini, and she didn't want to, you know, have the pastor that we're going to be sitting next to at church that night. So we wanted to find a quiet spot. So there were a few different pools. So we chose one that looked kind of quiet. We saw this young man sitting nearby. He had hair down to his back. He had tattoos all over. All of us got tattoos. He's ripped, man. I said to Jill, he's not part of the conference. I'm sure he's not one of the pastors. I mean, just look at him. Does he look like a pastor? Sure enough, we walk in that night, and here's that man, long hair, all the tattoos. It was Carl Lenz of Hillsong, New York. That's who it was. And he said, I looked at you, and I thought, there's no way they're pastors. I take that as a compliment. At that time, he was the youth pastor in Virginia Beach before he started Hillsong, New York. Now he's a pastor of Hillsong, New York. They have seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. They've got, five campuses, one in Boston, one in New Jersey, one in New York, Connecticut. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Don't judge people by outward appearances. I heard about this man who visited a very formal, high-end, fancy church. He was wearing old jeans, cowboy hat, boots. He walked in on a Sunday morning, sat down on the third row. The congregation was appalled. Some people sent notes to the pastor expressing their concerns. After the service, the pastor told the man he needed to ask God what he should wear before he comes back to this church. The man showed up next Sunday, dressed the same way, jeans, cowboy hat, boots. The pastor said, I told you to ask God what to wear before you come back to this church. The man said, I did ask God, but he didn't know because he'd never been here before. What's my point? Don't judge by the exterior. I'm telling you right now, I found whether I'm wearing a suit or whether I'm wearing blue jeans, it doesn't affect the anointing of God on me. What affects the anointing is the attitude of my heart. That's what affects the anointing of God. I can get up here in a suit or jeans and the same anointing, family. Just because they don't look like you, they don't dress like you, they don't act like you, that's okay. They're on a journey. They're not a finished product. Jesus made it really simple. He said in Matthew 7, 1, do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. The Passion Bible says, refuse to be a critic, full of bias toward others, and judgment will not be passed on to you. You may not understand somebody, but you don't have to understand them in order to love them. You don't have to agree with them to accept them. That's why it's called unconditional love. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, it says, above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another, for love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins. That love that will cover a multitude of sins. And the Message says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. That's my challenge to you today. Start covering people with love. It's easy to cover people with judgment, cover people with condemnation, cover people with guilt. Let's cover people with love. Love heals. Love brings down barriers. Love puts people back on their feet. Love restores. Love forgives. Amen. In fact, let me read the definition of love to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is so powerful. Verse number 1. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I did not express myself with love, my words would be reduced to a hollow sounding, nothing more than a clanging cymbal. It says in verse 2, if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending and supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could even move mountains, but I haven't learned to love, I am nothing. If I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Now, what is love like? Love is large. Love is incredibly patient. Love is gentle, consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about his own achievements. It does not inflate its own importance. It says love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. It never selfishly seeks its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love does not take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. This is describing the love of God. When we love like this, we're loving like God. Can you say amen? And 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim. Make it your great quest. In fact, the New Living Bible says, let love be your highest goal. It should be our greatest goal to love people like God loves us. Colossians 3:14, for love is supreme and must flow through acts of each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. You want to know how to recognize someone who's really a mature Christian? The person who walks in love, who demonstrates love. God's love is the mark of a mature believer. Amen. I'm almost done. Galatians 5, verse 14. Are you getting something out of this today? Galatians 5, 14. Everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That is the entire word of God in one sentence. Love others as you love yourself. God is counting on us to make a difference, to show mercy, to be understanding, to give people the benefit of the doubt. Bring those in society that society looks down on. Bring them in. Bring in the criminals, bring in the thieves, bring in the prostitutes, bring in the addicts, bring in the broken, bring in the outcasts, because we will love them unconditionally. Romans 1 verse 14 says this, love obligates me to preach to everybody. See, I've got to preach to everybody. Love obligates me. I can't just preach to the people I like. I've got to preach to everybody. It says to those who are among the elite and to those who are among the outcasts, to those who are wise and educated and to those who are foolish and unlearned. I've got to preach to the educated and I've got to preach to the foolish. I've got to preach to the wise. I've got to preach to the rich. I've got to preach to the poor. Love obligates me to reach out and preach to everybody. Amen. Say that. Say the love of God obligates me to preach and share the good news with everybody. God's love compels us to preach to everyone. If you have this unconditional love, not only are you going to help other people, your own life will improve. You'll have more joy. You'll have better relationships. And God promises He'll reward you. My final scripture is Luke 6:35. Love your enemies. Do good to them. lend to them without expecting to be repaid, then what will happen? Your reward from heaven will be very great. Your reward from heaven, God never tells you to do anything without a reward. Your reward will be very great, and you will be acting as children of the Most High God, for He is kind to those who are unthankful, and He is kind to those who are wicked. Family, let's love like God. Let's love people unconditionally. That's how they'll know that we belong to Jesus. Let's pursue this love. Let's make it our highest goal. Everything we do without love, it is worthless, the Scripture says. I pray today your love grows, and I pray your love overflows. Let me tell you, when you love like God loves, you are showing that you know God. Let's be merciful. Let's be forgiving. Let's be kind. Let's be patient. Let's love people instead of judging and condemning them. We owe it to them. We've got a debt to love people. When you love, you fulfill all of God's commands. Amen. Let's be inclusive, not exclusive. And you know what? God will smile down on you, and God will reward you. And the Bible says love never fails in the name of Jesus. Do you receive this today? Come on, won't you give God some thanks? Give God some praise if you got something out of this morning. Father, I pray for each and every person here today. And I pray that our love would grow. I pray that our love would increase. I pray that our love would overflow and abound. Lord, I pray that when people come into this church, they would just feel your love coming from us. I pray that as we go out of these doors today, and as we meet people this week, I pray, Lord, that your love will permeate from us and that they will notice it. There's something different about you. What is it? It's the love of God that is flowing out of our heart toward other people. Amen. Thank you, Rick. I want to ask you, as you just close your eyes for a moment, I want to pray right now. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. Listen, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt, you know you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm even a member. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can know that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is well, all is right between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away, and you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you'll spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up right where you're sitting. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, won't you quickly just lift your hand up high? Just slip your hand up right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up right now. Thank you. God bless you. All righty. Did you see any hands back there? Who's back there? Who's by the light switch? Who is that? Did you see any hands, Mark? Alrighty. All right, look up at me for a moment. Praise God. Did you get something out of this today? All right. Well, listen, I said to my wife, I want to receive the offering today because I was reading in my Bible and God just gave this to me to share with you. As we get ready to give today, we get ready right now to worship God with our giving. I want to share a couple of minutes with you. Can I do that? Can I do that? Is that okay? 2 John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6 says this. This love means living in obedience to whatever God commands us. This love we're talking about means living in obedience to whatever God commands us. And in Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, obey my commands. Do you know how you can tell and prove that you love God? Because you do what he says. Let me say it again. You obviously didn't get it the first time. Do you know how you can tell that you really love God? You know you demonstrate your love for God by doing what he says. Now, I was reading this week. It's powerful. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I was doing my Bible reading, and I read this, verse 1. The prophet Samuel said to Saul, God sent Samuel to anoint Saul to be king. And Samuel says, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over all his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. And he had a word from God for King Saul. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both men, man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Kill everything. Now, and us, the same thing. Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared King Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, all that was good. They were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless was utterly destroyed. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. God said, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul, for he has turned back from following me, and he has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Paul said, the Lord said to Samuel, I regret that I anointed Saul, because he's gone away from me. He's not doing what I said. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul saw him, and he said, blessed are you of the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which are here? If you fulfill the commandment of the Lord, how come I hear sheep bleating in my ears? And Saul said, they brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you over all Israel? When you were little in your own eyes, that means when you were humble. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone on the mission which the Lord sent me, and I brought back Agag, king of the Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, see, he blamed the people. But the people took off the plunder and the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, now listen, I read all of that to get to this. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is, please say it, to obey is better than sacrifice. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Samuel turned around to go away. Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and given it to a neighbor of yours who's better than you. Why? Because he would not obey a specific instruction from God. Let me tell you, this is how Saul lost the kingdom. He refused to obey a clear instruction from God. Instead of doing what God said, Saul did what he thought was right. What caused Saul's demise was disobedience to an instruction from God. Are you with me? Not to the word of the prophet, but to the word God gave the prophet. God clearly explained to him what was required and what he was to do, but Saul was arrogant. And Samuel said, you were once small in your own eyes. That's humility. But he became arrogant. Even when the prophet confronts him, He's arguing. He's defending. He's justifying. He's coming up with excuses. And God took the kingdom from him. He blamed other people for his disobedience. Well, the people did this. The people did that. Here's what God showed me in this passage. People are doing this today. Are you listening to me? Don't go to sleep on me now. Don't go home now. Listen to what I'm telling you. This could make the difference between God's favor in your life and God rejecting you. You say, well, God still loves you. You've got to understand, God loves you. It doesn't mean God has to bless you. It doesn't mean God approves and is pleased with what you're doing. He still loves you. But it doesn't mean that I don't want God just to love me. I want God to be pleased with me. Do you understand the difference? People are doing this today. Why? Because they disobey a clear instruction about tithing, and then they try to justify themselves. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not tithing, but I do give. I give to charity. I help people. I do this. I do these good things. I do that. Yes, but you're not obeying what God told you to do. Move on for me, Natalie. To obey is better than sacrifice. Do you know what God gets out of your tithing is not the money. It's your obedience to him. That's what matters. Saul lost everything because he failed to understand. He insulted God because he half obeyed. Don't let people say, well, as long as you're doing something for the Lord. No. If God gives you a clear instruction, and God has given us a clear instruction to tithe, family. Malachi 3 verse 8 says, should people cheat God? But you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings that are due to me. You're under a curse. For the whole nation's been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Again, in Leviticus 27:30, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Someone said, Pastor Steve, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. How about the words of Jesus? Is that enough for you, the words of Jesus himself? Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, yes, you should tithe. But don't neglect the more important things like justice, mercy, and faith. In the Passion Bible, it says, these matters are fine, yet you ignore the most important duty of all, to walk in the love of God, display mercy to others, and live with integrity. Readjust your values and place first things first. Jesus said you should tithe, but don't ignore loving, being merciful, and just. Let me tell you, when you obey God with a willing heart, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Living Bible says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, I will make you rich. God says, if you will only obey me, if you will only let me help you. But if you refuse, if you keep on turning your backs and refusing to listen to me, you will be killed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Let me tell you, it pays to obey God. If you don't believe me, ask King Saul. I don't know about you, but I want to be like David, not like Saul. I want to be a David. I don't want to be a Saul. Do you know the Bible says, now think about it, and I'll close with, I'm almost done. Come on, hurry up. Okay, I'm almost done, okay? I got you once a week. Just hang in there, tiger. David committed adultery, had her husband murdered, and God said, David's a man after my own heart. King Saul refused to kill King Azar, King Agag, and spared some sheep. How could David be a man after God's heart and Saul rejected? Because when David was confronted with his sin, he repented, he admitted it, and he repented before God. Saul argued, debated, and refused to obey an instruction of the Lord. Acts 13:22 says this, God removed Saul and replaced him with David as king, a man about whom God said, David is a man after my own heart, for he will obey me. Now say what you want to say about David. The reason why God treasured David, because David, even though he made some big mistakes, he repented and he did what God told him to do. The New Living says he'll do everything I want him to do. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be a David. I want God to say he's a man after my own heart. And the only way that happens is you obey whatever God tells you, whatever His Word says. When you love God, you'll do what He says. Right now, as we get ready to give, we are showing our dependence on God, our love for God, our trust in God. He's first in my... This is a big deal. Don't think, well, hurry up, Pastor Steve. We're going to get to lunch now. Hurry up now. My tummy's grumbling. Right now, we're about to show God how important He is, how much we trust in Him, how much we depend on Him, how grateful we are to Him. And let me tell you right now that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. I was so excited we went out with Barry and Annette. Where's Barry and Annette at? Did they leave? Maybe they had to go. But they were here last night, and she said to me, Pastor Steve, I've never been so excited about giving and tithing my whole life. I've been a Christian since I was 33 years old, over 20 years. I've never been so excited. She said, I want to earn more money now so I can give more to the kingdom of God. I tell you what, that blesses me. When you say, I want to be more successful so I can do more for the kingdom of God. So I don't know about you, but tithing is not a chore for me. Tithing is a privilege for me. It's an honor for me. I love to give to God. Does anyone else feel the same way here today? Lord, we honor You today. We love You today. We thank You for every good thing in our life, because we know every good thing comes from You. Every good and perfect gift comes from You. Lord, we honor You today with a tithe and with our offering. Our trust and dependence is on You. You are first in our life. And we thank You, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above us. We thank You for pouring blessing upon us. We thank You for rebuking the devourer on our behalf. And we thank You that everyone will see how blessed we are in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Ushers, are you ready? If you're not ready to give after all that, then I don't know what more I can say. But if you're ready to give, ushers, get ready. We're going to receive the offering from God's people today. There are various ways to give. You can give online. You can give with a credit card, with check, with a mobile app. You can text give. We have a kiosk in the lobby. You can use that to give. I want to mention to you that on Tuesday nights we pray here from 6 until 7. I want to encourage you to come join us and pray if you can from 6 until 7. At least if you can't come every week, come once a month. Come and pray with us. And we have a great time here on Tuesday nights. I want to thank all our volunteers, that our servant leaders who served in God's house today, in the media, the kids' church, the ushers, the greeters. Won't you give them a big round of applause, the worship team? We appreciate them so much. And after church today, I was told I can do this. We're going to Miguel and Natalie having a fresh fry, and they said, I can invite you all to their house after church today. Bring something, my wife's. Bring something with you. So we're going to go to Natalie and Miguel's. If you ask them, they said that you'd be welcome to mention it. But turn to your neighbor, say, you my family. So I love you unconditionally. Family, this is our family. Let's love one another. Get to know people in this church. Find someone you don't know. Go and say hi to them. Let us, people will know that we are the believers, that we are followers of Jesus because of the love we have for one another. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week this week. Have an awesome week this week. Invite someone to church. Take one of those invite cards when you go and invite someone next Sunday. We'll see you next week. God bless everybody. See you next time. Give us some music back there, please. Yeah.